Well, you want to know what the definition of a rivalry is? Well, you play every year. There's a lot of vitriol, and it's been competitive. Sunday's going to be the 111th meeting between the Falcons and Saints. The Saints have won 55. The Falcons have won 55, gentlemen.
Mm.
So there
blow
you go.
Blow for blow.
Blow for blow.
Heavyweight Titans going at it in the history of
last
football.
Last man standing. Loser leaves town.
The most grand franchises in the history of the NFL.
And also battered offensive lines, too.
Yeah, that's what worries me. A guy I wanted last year in the draft, Brian Brzee from Clemson.
Yes.
I think he's a hell of a player. He's obviously a good kid. He's dealt with some stuff in college with
his sister. Passed away. Yeah.
Yeah. He's what he and Carl Granderson worry me in this game. I know that obviously, you know, Cam Jordan has been that guy for a long time. He's obviously maybe lost a little bit, but their defensive line is sneaky good. I think you can run on their defensive line, but when it comes back to pass rush, that they worry me up front. I think it's going to be interesting to me how you can run the ball without Drew Dahlman in the game and Caleb McGarry. If you can still effectively run Mike on them and neutralize in any way that their pass rush.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny because, you know, whoever starts at right tackle is going to have to deal with Cameron Jordan. And, you know, he kind of slides in and out and does a number of different things. Kind of like we talked about Chris Jones, but I don't think to that quite extent. But, you know, it was funny. We turned on film, Rob, this morning, and the first third down, we're like, oh, where's Cam Jordan? He's not in there. It's Granderson and Chase Young that are rushing the passer.
That was the third down, right?
Things. Yeah, that was third down. So it was just it's interesting to see how they've, you know, continued to utilize him as he's gotten a little longer in the tooth. He's definitely a heck of a football player still, but much in the way that you would have seen like Calais used here last year, kind of caps that tackle, you know, to the tight end side and doing over different things, but still a good player. But you're right. I think Carl Granderson is he's the dude-io. Like, you know, when we highlight with TJ Watt and whoever else on these defenses and say, man, that's the guy, Granderson's the straw that stirs the drink, and I think that's one of the guys you have to have your eyes on if you're Atlanta and you're having these offensive line injuries.
Well, what about the Saints? So Eric McCoy's out, their best O lineman, and you know they're running the ball very well until he went out. Now they're averaging about 3 yards a carry since he's been gone, so that's had an effect on him.
That's where I want to see David Onyemata kind of be that guy, and I know that he and Eddie Goldman can they stuff. Kind of stuff the middle there with that run. And obviously Grady Jarrett, I mean, do you run more stunts this week, Mike? Do you kind of try to abuse that? Maybe Grady coming in and running a stunt, kind of moving in there and attacking McCoy? Because what they've done is they've moved Lucas Patrick inside, and then they we saw last week, and I'm sure it's probably going to be a similar plan, and he's going to be the guy that moves into left guard.
Nice job.
And I know I finally got it. It only took me 5 days.
Oladu.
Nice. But and I literally have to look at the phonetic spelling, phonetically how it's spelled or as pronounced, like to get that word out.
Do his full name though, Olasemeka.
Well, you just did it for me.
Olasemeka.
Yeah, Semeka.
Olasemeka.
Odo. Oh, anyway, so now we've stopped because doing names. But the reality of the situation is what mismatches can we create inside? Could maybe Zach Harrison have an impact this week because of that?
Well, and he's so interesting to me because it's like I've mentioned you a couple times, we don't have much length. You know, it's not just size. We don't have much length, and that leads to leverage, right? When you have length, you have leverage. It's much in the way if I wanted to go, you know, tell you to push the door open, you're not going to stand up straight and hit it with your chest. You're going to lean into it and get nice leverage and get flat to the ground and everything else. So He is an intriguing part of this entire ordeal, and obviously you have not been good against the run the last few weeks.
27th on the run, yeah.
Yeah, and it's bad. So it's weird because Bo and I talked about this, Rob. I honestly find our defense up front to be a lot like the offense has been, you know, or at least was in week one. It's almost very vanilla, and you're still kind of figuring out what your defense can do and can't do. Now, the great equalizer in run defense is when you have undersized guys. And look no further, like if you were – If you were watching Georgia-Kentucky a couple weeks ago, Kentucky did a good job of this. You start moving side to side. It's the great equalizer. Like, I'm not going to sit here. If I'm not 6'5 and 320, I'm not going to sit here and try to stand up to these double teams. So you do start moving a little more side to side. And I think that's one of the intriguing things that are probably at the fingertips of Jimmy Lake in this defense. I don't know that they go to that yet, and I don't think that they change much of what they're doing. I think they want to settle into some of these division games and see how they do against this style of offense before they start making changes like run stunts and other things. But I think you do have to start sprinkling that in, because I don't think you have those guys right now up front that are just going to simply squat on a double team, other than Eddie Goldman. But he's just not – he's not a three-down player. So.
And one thing I saw that impressed me last week, and it's the first time I've seen all year this guy kind of flash, it was Taquan Graham. Yeah. I saw multiple times last – and that's a good offensive line. Look, I know that Kansas –
well, he blew up a couple of plays. He got penalized on the second one.
But yeah. Hold on a second. That was a terrible call.
Yeah.
That wasn't defensive holding. How do you call it again? He beat a double team on that play. He wasn't the refs were garbage last night, too, in that game.
I was just happy to see him flash, though.
But I was, too, and that's a good offensive line. I know we talked about Wanye Morris coming in for the rookie, Kingsley Sumate. But Juwan Taylor, I'm not a big fan, but because of what he did at Florida, he was always a penalty. But Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, and Joe Tooney, those are really good interior offensive linemen. I thought T.Q. Graham played well against last week.
No, I did too, and he started to flash. And you talk about length, he actually is probably one of the longer guys. He's listed at 6'4". There's a couple of guys on this defensive roster that we have that I don't agree with, like, half their heights. There's just no freaking way. All right, you're not going to tell me that Eddie Goldman is 6'3" and that Zach Harrison's 6'5". Like, that's not a 2-inch height difference, bro. Like, there's just no way. David Onyemata's not 6'4". Let's just throw that out there too. You got Grady Jarrett listed at 6', and David Onyemata's 6'4". No, it's not.
No, I'm saying Grady Jarrett.
Yeah, yeah. Well, his is definitely accurate. Grady, I don't think that you're not going to tell me David Onyemata's 4 inches taller than Grady Jarrett either. So it is. I think T.Q. Graham's one of the bigger bodies when you look at this defense. I think he's an intriguing part of this entire thing because, look, I think you look at Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata, and everything else that goes into this defensive front, and those are good players. But you have to find a way to have bigger bodies and continue to anchor down against when you have, like we did against the Eagles 2 weeks ago, a 360-pound left tackle, a 330-pound left guard, and some of the other players you're going against. So they're going to have to find different ways to stand up to the run because it looked like they were completely overmatched last week against that Chiefs O-line.
What do you guys think about A.J. Terrell D-off? You got to go against Chris Olave. You've got Rashid Shaheed as well. That could be an issue. And, Alford and A.J. Terrell, they've been – gashed a little bit.
Well, AJ was great last week.
He was.
But they didn't go after. They didn't target him much. They targeted Hughes and Alford last week with Rashee Rice. I think Mike Hughes has been phenomenal, Rob, so far. I think he's done everything you've asked him to do. I think AJ's been pretty good. Look, you just got to – Mike, what did you tell me yesterday that this defense has been in a majority of the time? What defense did
cover
you tell
three.
Me?
Cover three. Cover three a lot.
So – there have been cover three.
Cover three, 49% of the passing downs, which is a big number. Like top five in the NFL.
And am I wrong that when you play that cover three, you basically play that with a safety that's kind of an eraser, right? To kind of save you from that. That was what it was kind of here when DQ was here, to kind of save you from that. If that big play happens over the top, you've got somebody that can kind of save you there.
Yeah, and you'll do different things that usually cover three, in my opinion. I'm sure there's some defensive coach out there that's telling me I'm wrong. Cover three, in my opinion, it opens up a lot of the kind of underneath crossing routes, things like that, because you are in that cover three shell and those corners are kind of backing off a little bit.
Keeping everything in front of you.
Right, keeping everything in front of you. But it, to your point, and I want to make sure we go this route too, these corners in doing that, in cover three, keeping everything in front of you, you're still doing extremely well against the pass in terms of your overall ranking in the NFL, right? And you're doing that without much pass rush in front of you so far. So I think the secondary, in my opinion, has been nothing short of incredible when you look at everything that goes into it. When you're so bad against the run, you're so bad at rushing the passer, and yet all your passing stats are in the top, 11, 12 in the NFL, that's because every guy in the secondary has stepped up.
Let's hear from Jesse Bates on bending, not breaking.
I think this last game we had probably a couple 15-plus play drives where – I don't think we were that good on third down last game. I think they converted. That goes back to getting these guys out of third and two, third and one, making it longer, third and longer distances. But I think we've done a really good job of responding in the red zone, of keeping guys out and forcing guys to kick field goals and keeping us in the game as well. So, yeah, there's a balance of that. You want to be top 10, top 5 and everything, but those stats will come as long as we continue to do our job and continue to get turnovers and play good defense.
And that's why I brought up that's why I'm about to bring up Caesar Weiss, who did not practice yesterday for the second straight day. Does he practice today for them? They could essentially have three guys playing, three backups essentially playing in the middle of their line. I know that Lucas Patrick's a starter, but at center he's not. He's a backup there. It's a little bit out of sorts for him. I still think he'll play okay, but can this line swell up, shut down the run, and if there is as good against the deep stuff that they've as the secondary has been so far, you can keep everything in front of you. You might get in on third and longs where you get off the field.
Well, and too, I want to highlight this, and we've talked about this a couple of times. The Saints offensive line, there is not an analyst in the NFL realms that would have ranked them outside of the bottom 10 of offensive lines coming into the year. You didn't know what you had in rookie Talis Fuaga. Ryan Ramczyk was on the fence, and we know that he's not playing this year. Caesar Ruiz has had his ups and downs. He has struggled at times. Trevor Penning, good in the passing game, not great in the run game. Now you start taking shots at that offensive line. Now they start having guys leave with injury. I wonder if, because they were phenomenal the first couple of weeks.
Yep.
But now you start getting into these situations where all of a sudden you're not allowed to be the aggressor in the run game, right, because you don't have the guys. Now all of a sudden a guy like Trevor Penning at right tackle is forced to pass protect. Now a rookie in Talis Fuaga, who is phenomenal, by the way, but is forced to pass protect because you're not running very well on first and second down. Now I think we're about to find out a lot about what the real Saints offense looks like this week.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in-wash scent beads.